Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship.
The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 126 of the Fantrax Toolshed, Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. I will actually be rolling solo today. Chris is out of town for this entire week, actually, so he will not be here for the second episode this week as well, but I get two great guests lined up for that episode, so that's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a pitching prospect mock draft of sorts with how all the rankings have changed. We're going to bring on a couple great guests that do rankings as well, two very respected people in this industry. So we'll have a little fun with that episode. But today I'm going to get into just my top 400 rankings update that posted today when you're listening to this on Monday, June 13th. I will say, though, as I'm recording this on Sunday night around 8 p.m. I'm still going to be tinkering with my rankings after I finish this podcast. So the numbers don't 100% line up. That's why I'll probably move guys up and down one spot or two spots here and there. But this is basically the gist of my rankings here. We'll get into as much of it as we can. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find all of us on Twitter. I'm at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClag, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both Chris and I, and our YouTube channel for plenty of live prospect video and some other goodies throughout the season. And of course, check out all the other great work we have going on over at Fantrax HQ, with multiple fantasy baseball articles coming out every single day. Been really proud of all the work that our team has put out. We have a lot of good stuff there every day, so go check that out. But let's get right into my rankings now. I figured we can go about 10 at a time or so to kind of break it up a little bit and have some player discussion along the way. So since my last update, which was, I think, the second week of May, we've had some pretty big names graduate off the list, most notably Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, and Spencer Torkelson. There's been plenty of their names. Bryson Stott is another one that I remember got graduated off the list. But those were really the big three names. So we have a new one and two for the first time in, man, but over a year now. I think Witt and JR have been 1-2 for, at least a year, ever since Wander graduated. So we now have a new 1-2. So let's get into that top 10. The new number one should be really no surprise: Corbin Carroll. Two is Riley Green. Three, Robert Hassel the third. Four, CJ Abrams. Five, Adley Rutschman. Six, Anthony Volpe. Seven, Jordan Lawler. Eight, Ezekiel Tovar. Nine, Grayson Rodriguez. And 10 is Jordan Walker. So nine hitters, bunch of shortstops, bunch of outfielders, one pitcher. Right at the top, Corbin Carroll. He's just been having absolutely phenomenal season. In case you, for some reason, haven't been paying attention to what Corbin Carroll has been doing, he has made Double-A pitching look absolutely foolish this season. In 230 plate appearances, slashing 314, 435, 633, with a 319 ISO, 28 extra base hits, 14 home runs, and 19 steals, only been caught twice. Also has a 15.2% walk rate and a 24.8% strikeout rate. He should get the bump to AAA very, very soon. Whether you'll see him up in Arizona this year, I doubt it. I wouldn't 100% rule it out, but more so probably a early, you know, like a May 2023 debut for him. But basically what we wanted to happen with Corbin Carroll has happened this year. You know, entering the season, obviously he missed a lot of time last year, but like the contact skills, the approach, the speed, those were all there. Nobody questioned those. You know, it was plus or better contact skills, great approach, double plus speed. But the development of his power, which a lot of people thought would come, I don't know if they thought it would come at this level, but this is what really has made him from an, you know, a great prospect into a potential fantasy stud. You know, like Trey Turner comps have been thrown around with Corbin Carroll. I hate comps. First off, people ask me about comps. I hate comps. I suck at comps, but this one does fit. Like Carroll does have first round fantasy upside, 25 home run power, 30 plus steel wheels. This would be a guy that hits at the top of the order, scores a crap ton of runs, gets on base, high OBP, high average. There's not a lot of weaknesses in his game. Even the K rate has ticked up a little bit, but still only 24.8%. Not bad at all. So Corbin Carroll was an easy pick for number one. That's no slight to the next few guys on the list, but he is like the most complete player for fantasy purposes in the minor leagues right now. And I don't think it's really that close. It's Carroll. He's in a tier by himself for me. Riley Green at two obviously had that broken foot, or else he'd probably be graduated off the list as well, because it looked like he was going to be on the opening day roster with Torkelson, but we had to wait a little bit longer, but he is back up in AAA now, looking pretty good, doing a lot of the things that made him an elite prospect last year. You know, when he broke out and had that 24 homer, 16 steal season last year, hitting above 300. Yeah, that K rate did tick up last year, and that is a very, very slight concern, but I don't think it's going to hinder him long term. He's a very advanced hitter. Still only, he'll be 22 later on this summer. 25 to 30 homer bat,
probably adds 10 to 15 steals with that, with a good average, good OBP, and he'll be right in the middle of that Detroit lineup, which isn't so great right now. It's almost like they're the team you stream against right now in fantasy purposes. Everyone can just shut out Detroit, it seems like, these days, including Ross Stripling today with 6 shutout innings against the Tigers because their lineup is so bad right now. But it should be getting better here with all these young players that are coming up. And obviously, Green and Torque will be right in the middle of that. So I think Green's going to be a very good fantasy player, like a top 50 caliber player for a long time. I almost had Hassel, too. I've been going back and forth between him and Hassel at 2. Hassel basically is very close to Carroll in terms of the raw tools, but just not quite as advanced. The power is coming along, but not to the extent of Carroll's. Doesn't quite have Carroll's speed, but Hassel's a plus hitter. I think he can be above average to plus raw power. It's a little bit less than that in game power. I think he could be a 20 homer, 25 steal type of guy. So again, a little bit less than Carroll's upside in that power speed department. But a guy that could hit 280 or above, should be a top of the order type of hitter, score a ton of runs. He'll be hitting in front of guys like Tatis and Manny Machado and, you know, all the others there. So Hassel is definitely top 5 in my mind. And right behind him, CJ Abrams, who's hasn't had the greatest showing so far in AAA. It's been okay, but he was rushed. Absolutely no question in my mind that he was rushed to the major leagues early in the year. I'm not sure why they panicked and decided to bring him up after he missed all that time last year with the injury. But I still am a very big believer in CJ Abrams. I think he's similar to the two guys above him, you know, with high average, lots of speed. And I think that power still gets up to like the 15, 16, 17 home run range. So not worried about Abrams yet. You know, Richmond, he's not up to the greatest starts, but Richmond's going to be a beast in this league. He's the best catching prospect I've ever seen personally. I think he's probably the best catching prospect baseball has seen since, you know, Joe Mauer and Buster Posey, you know, well over a decade ago. He's going to be an MVP type of player. So don't worry about that. He's the only catcher I would ever consider ranking my top 10. Like, until Richmond came along, I don't think I've ever had a catcher anywhere remotely close to my top 10. In fact, he's number 5, speaks volumes about his long-term projection. Anthony, then we got a trio of shortstops here, 6, 7, 8, Volpe, Lawler, Tovar. You know, I put a video out about Tovar, and I saw him a couple times this week as Hartford was in town here in Portland, Maine. Tovar, plus contact, plus speed, above average power. He's what he's doing at a young age in a pitcher-friendly cold weather AA Eastern League is very impressive. Like, he's absolutely a top 10 prospect. And if you can get him for anything less than the top 10 price tag, I would definitely look to do so. He is 100% legit. Still a little bit aggressive. He was very aggressive in my two games I saw of him, but did have a nice opposite field home run. The bat speed is electric. So definitely a believer, and Tovar has earned this top 10. Lawler too. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury, but all the skeptics have kind of been silenced with his performance this year. People are wondering, you know, the bat speed would be an issue, how much average will he hit for, but through his first 152 games in low A as a 19-year-old, 352, 461, 600 with 7 home runs, 18 steals, only been caught 3 times. And yes, those 18 steals are inflated because it is low A, but this is a guy that has one of the loftiest offensive ceilings in the minor leagues, 20 homer, 25 plus steal type of guy. He has, you're talking about ceilings, his ceiling is close to like a Hassel and Abrams and all of them. But obviously, he's just not quite as advanced. So that's why he's a few spots below. But he's going to be top 5 very soon if he continues this. That is for sure. Anthony Volpe, too, at number 6. People are probably wondering, why is Volpe still at 6? He's kind of had a really down year. But I'm a believer in what we saw out of Anthony Volpe last year. He had a huge season, that 27 home run, 33 steal season. And he's starting to heat up here in June. He's hitting over 300 in June. He's still been running a bunch, still been drawing a lot of walks. So I'm not dropping him much at all. He's actually moved up one spot since my last update because he's starting to heat up here. So Volpe, great buy low, no doubt about it. Same with G-Rod. You're probably wondering why he's still top 10, even though he's going to miss the next few months and probably the rest of the season from the sounds of it. Minor speed bump. G-Rod is the best pitcher I have seen live in terms of minor league pitching prospects. Obviously, I didn't have a chance to see some of the big names, you know, that we see in the major league. I never saw like Corbin Burnes in the minors or like Garrett Cole or anybody like that. But I've seen a lot of good names over the last half decade or so, including the Detroit guys, you know, the big three of there, you know, Mize, Manning, Skubal. I've seen Nate Pearson. I've seen so many good names over the years. And Grayson Rodriguez just checks off all those boxes for a frontline Cy Young caliber arm, four above average to better pitches, above average or better command and control, workhorse frame. So if you can get him for any sort of a discount here, I would definitely look to do so. And Jordan Walker, too. He's been, you know, while the power hasn't quite been as robust this year as people kind of expected, I'm not worried about that in the slightest. Because if you watch Jordan Walker, you've seen Jordan Walker play, the power is going to come. Like, he isn't a double plus raw power type. Don't be worried. He only has six home runs right now, but he does have 16 doubles. But what's really impressing me is that he's now 20 years old in Double A, one of the youngest at the level. He's got 14 steals. That's an element of his game that has really picked up as a professional that people didn't think he was going to be much of a stolen base guy, maybe a handful. He's proven that he's going to be a double-digit stolen base guy annually, at least early on in his career. And he's hitting .316 with an 11.5% walk rate, 21.6% K rate. That is also improved from kind of where the scouting report was back when he was drafted a couple years ago. So Walker is legit. The power is going to come along. I think he's top 10 right now. I got him number 10 overall. Really impressing me how he's really improved as a base runner and as a pure hitter. All right, next 10 here, 11 through 20, we have Shane Boz, who just returned and wasn't very good, but still love him long-term. Shane Boz, Royce Lewis, Daniel Espino, Alec Thomas, Gunnar Henderson, O'Neal Cruz, Marco Luciano, Vinny Pasquantino, Noelvi Marte, and George Kirby rounding out the top 20. A lot of movement here. A lot of guys that jumped up or down in this range. Royce Lewis was top 10 before he got injured, which just sucks, man. Like, Royce Lewis obviously has had a very up and down career. Was a top prospect at one point, had a down season, had the injury. Now he's going to go through a torn ACL again after he was having a dominant season in AAA. Looked pretty damn good in his cup of coffee with Minnesota as well, even though they sent him back down. But yeah, so just unfortunate, really, that see he have to deal with this again. Like I said, he would have been, I think I had him 7th, I want to say. Now maybe even 6th. I think he was right in that shortstop cluster we just talked about a few minutes ago. So Royce Lewis, I don't know if the person that has him in Dynasty is looking to sell right now just because they don't want to wait around for him to rehab that knee injury. I still think he's going to be a very good fantasy player for a long time. Boz and Espino sandwich him at 11-13. I've talked a lot about these two on Tool Shed over the last year or two, and even Five Tool back in the day. Espino is an absolute stud in the making, frontline guy, Cleveland, you know, everything you want out of him. So it might seem a little high to have Espino at 13, but I've been all in on Espino, and I'm not going to stop now. This guy is a stud. He's going to be, you know, very soon the new number one pitching prospect in baseball. Shane Boz, again, not worried about the debut here. Maybe this year's stats aren't the greatest, but he's still going to be a absolute stud long-term, top 10, top 15 fantasy arm. I believe in the adjustments he made last year because it's exactly what he said he was trying to do when I interviewed him along with Jake Devereaux and Jesse Roche on Five Tool back in, I want to say it was April of 2020. What he said he was trying to work on and improve, he did in spades. So very much a believer there. Alec Thomas is probably the most boring name I've mentioned so far, but he just gets the job done. I mean, like, he's a 280 plus type of hitter, 20 to 25 home runs. He'll add 10 to 15 steals, score a good amount of runs. He's a top of the order type of guy. Looks tailor-made for the number two spot in the lineup. And yeah, Arizona's lineup has not been great this year, but I like Alec Thomas a lot. So I think he's very underrated. Gunnar Henderson, I probably could have bumped up a few more spots. What he's doing in AA is very, very impressive. 230 plate appearances, slashing .306, .452, .561, 11 doubles, 9 home runs, 12 steals, only been caught twice, and has more walks than strikeouts, 20% walk rate, 17.4% strikeout rate. Only reason why I went higher on Tovar. I just believe there's a higher power speed ceiling with Tovar. And also he gets that nice boost in Coors Field, the Babbitt boost there too. Though Camden Yards is a pretty good place to hit as well. Well, unless that left field fence, that definitely doesn't help seeing all those home runs that are being kept in the yard now that would have been home runs, you know, in previous years. But luckily, Henderson's a lefty, so that doesn't really matter for him too much. But yeah, just the only reason why he's not top 10 yet is I just don't think this power speed ceiling is quite as high for him as Tovar. But nothing wrong with Henderson. He's a great player. He's going to be a great player for a long time. O'Neill Cruz, kind of that gleam on his star is dulled a little bit. He hasn't really had the greatest season, though. I'm still a big believer. He's going to be a big power guy from the shortstop position, 25, 30 home runs, maybe more than that. Athletic enough to add double-digit steals early on in his career. Just where's the hit tool at? Where's the average going to be at? Where's the OBP going to be at? I think that's kind of the question right now. But obviously the upside, very high. Luciano having a pretty solid year. He stopped running, though. He has no steals yet this year. But at the plate, looking pretty good. In 164 plate appearances in high A, 288, 360, 507 slash line, 8 doubles, 8 home runs, 9.1% walk rate, 23.2% K rate. And all these stats are entering Sunday's games as well. They haven't updated yet. So obviously some things have changed a little bit with today's games, but he's having a pretty good year. So I think that's good for him. I'd like to see him run a little bit more, but hey, if he's just a 270 type of hitter with 30 home runs, that's still very valuable for fantasy purposes, of course. Is Vinny Pasquantino. What can I say that I haven't already said about this guy? He needs to be up right now. It's just absolutely ridiculous that he's not up. 290, 382, 640 slash line, 15 home runs, 15 doubles, 17 home runs, almost as many walks as strikeouts. The fact that he's showing these contact skills with the ISO, the power, he's a 350 ISO. And I think he still only has a 13.4% walk strikeout rate. Showing those contact and that power with that K rate is just a rare combination. So he's legit, guys. Everybody listening, he is legit. He's in the top 20, no doubt. I hated moving Nolovi Marte down to 19. Everyone knows me. I've been a big Nolovi guy, driving that train for a while. And he hasn't been terrible this year, but he also hasn't been the greatest either. 240, 330, 382, 6 home runs, 5 steals, and 233 plate appearances. Been kind of some rumblings that he's gained a little bit of weight and not in a good way. So I'm a little kind of curious that maybe I went a little bit overboard. I'm a little cautious right now with my ranking of him. So still top 20 prospect, no doubt, but maybe not top five like I thought he once was. Next set of 10 here, and I'll start going a little bit quicker here as we're already about almost 20 minutes into this episode. I won't go super in depth on everybody or mention every player here in depth, but all right, 21 through 30, Zach Veen, who's having another kind of a so-so season, but still hitting for a good average and getting on base and stealing bags. So still has that going for him. Miguel Vargas, Marcelo Mayer, Joey Weimer, Tristan Casas, Josh Young, Yuri Perez, Pete Carr Armstrong, Nolan Gorman, and Brady House round out the top 30. Joey Weimer, I know the K rate is still pushing 30%. He's always been in that high 20s, you know, near 30% range. The swing is unorthodox. But when we talked with Joey Weimer, Chris and I, about, I don't know when that was, November maybe? I don't know. Early in the offseason, he said that Milwaukee just hasn't made him change. Like they're comfortable letting him be who he is, which speaks volumes. And he's one of the biggest power speed guys in the minor leagues, potential 25-25 type of guy. Maybe the average isn't going to be super great, but I think he's going to be very good. Like I said, very good power speed guy. And even if he only hits 260 or so, because the K rate maybe limits the average a little bit, I think he's going to be just fine. That power speed is going to make him a very desirable fantasy target. All right. Another couple of names here. Tristan Casas, dealing with an injury. I still think he's up soon, but his ankle injury kind of put a damper on his debut, or pushed it back, I should say. And he was struggling a little bit after a hot start, but even though he's dropped a few spots, still very much a believer in his middle of the order upside. Mayer, kind of doing what I expected. Hitting for a high average. Power speed hasn't been robust yet, but he's one of the best pure hitters in the minor leagues, no doubt about it. Two big risers that jumped into this top 30. Yuri Perez from 48 to 27, and Pete Carroll Armstrong from 51 to 28. What is that? Like, what's there left to say about Yuri Perez? He's just absolutely dominating everywhere he goes. So overall in the season, 3.51 ERA, but a couple earlier starts kind of ballooned that. 41 innings, 9 walks to 58 Ks, whip is 0.9. He's 19 years old in Double A. Like, I can't say that enough. 19 years old in Double A. I think he's got a debut younger than Jose Fernandez, you know, rest his soul, did, you know, so many years ago. So I think we looked it up, and Fernandez debuted at like age 20 and like 300 and something days. And that assumes if Yuri Perez is up by the end of next year, he'll beat that because he doesn't even turn 21 until the beginning of 2024. His birthday's in like mid-April. So yeah, Perez is legit. He's a top five pitching prospect. He's going to be top three pretty soon once G-Rod and Kirby graduate pretty soon. G-Rod probably early next year. Probably Boss soon. So it's going to be Espino and Yuri Perez as your number one and number two pitching prospects within, you know, by this time next year at the absolute latest. PCA, man, he has been absolutely stellar across the board this year. 321, 398, 536, and 221 plate appearances with a total of 20 extra base hits, 9 home runs, 13 steals, been caught 4 times, 10% walk rate, and 18.5% K rate. He is kind of a Corbin Carroll light, has a similar skill set, but just dial it back a little bit. But he's one that you can probably get because he's not that super sexy prospect name, but you can get him for like a top back end, top 50 price tag. I would absolutely go do that because he is very, very legit as an all around offensive talent. Big time believer in Pete Carroll Armstrong. Next 10 here, 31 to 40. Ellie De La Cruz, Michael Harris II, Nick York, Francisco Alvarez, Josh Lowe, Henry Davis, Christian Hernandez, Austin Wells, Khalil Watson, Gabriel Moreno, 31 to 40. Ellie De La Cruz is slowly improving as an all-around hitter. K rate's kind of coming down steadily. Power speed is still very robust. He can just keeps making those incremental adjustments. He will get to the top 10. Nick York, slow start to the year. Still a believer, though. Kind of similar to what I said about Volpe. I'm a believer in what we saw from Nick York last year. Alvarez, I think he's in like a 12-13 game hitting streak right now. Saw him earlier in the year. He's very aggressive, so I do wonder if the average is more like 250, 260, but with 25-plus home runs, you'll live with that because catching is, again, a barren wasteland, as it always seems to be. Josh Lowe probably should have graduated off this list so far, but strikeout issues have limited him. Got to wonder where the hit tool is at long-term. Henry Davis is excelling right now, hitting for average, hitting for power, getting on base. I think he's – I almost put him ahead of Alvarez. Like, I almost did it. Maybe I will later tonight because I love Henry Davis. Probably getting some live looks at him in a couple of weeks here as Altoona comes to New Hampshire. It's a two-hour drive from me. But so I'll probably see him and Paguero and Nick Gonzalez, who is in the next 10 here. And maybe a Quinn Priester start. We'll see. He just got back from injuries down in the single A right now. See if they get him back up to Double A before that series. Austin Wells, again, very impressive offensive talent. I think there's a chance he sticks at catcher. So he's very underrated. Like, people talk about the other catchers here, like Moreno, Alvarez, and Davis. Wells doesn't get talked about as much as he should. Great target. Love the upside. He might have the highest upside for fantasy purposes among all these catchers in this 10. And then Khalil Watson and Christian Hernandez. Hernandez has top 10 potential. Like, you look at his swing, it's beautiful. Power's there. Feel for hit seems to be there. Some speed as well. He might be top 10 before too long. And Watson, K rate is astronomical right now. Didn't imagine dropping him down to 39 this early in the season. Probably you'll see him lower on many more, but he's starting to show some signs of life. Power speed is still kind of there, so definitely maybe a nice buy low opportunity depending on the price, but don't write him off yet. Way too early to write him off. All right, 41 to 50, Max Meyer, Luis Matos, who forgot how to hit the season for some odd reason, Nick Gonzalez, Brennan Davis, Tyler Soderstrom, Gavin Williams, Andy Páez, Kyle Harrison, Jose Miranda, who will graduate pretty soon, and Vidal Bruhan.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Very interesting group here. Meyer was looking really well on the verge of a call-up, then got hurt, and last couple starts before getting injured weren't the greatest. So I don't think he's up soon, maybe later on, August or so, if they need an arm then. Matos, we talked about him last week, Chris and I. He's been injured, and wonder how much of that factors into his performance this season. So I think he's a good buy low right now. Gonzalez, the K rate's gotten really high. It's above 30%. Very concerning. Davis just had back surgery, and he was looking absolutely terrible before. He's quickly declining, but maybe that back injury played a factor in his struggles, at least to some degree. So I still think he's going to be good, just not great. Soderstrom, still hitting for power. The approach isn't great, though, which is kind of a staple of Oakland's farm system lately over the last handful of years. So do have some concerns about that. Gavin Williams doesn't get talked about enough. I love Gavin Williams, big fastball, big breaking ball, really strong frame. Like he's got like that workhorse. I think he's like 6'6", 250, something like that. Very strong frame. Those two pitches, that fastball curveball, they're both easily plus, maybe above, maybe double plus on both of those. So he is another great target that doesn't get as much love as he should. Andy Páez, Kyle Harrison, Miranda, Bruhan rounded up that top 10, top 50, I should say. Bruhan, I'm starting to wonder what he is long term, but still has the great speed, solid hit tools. I think that's definitely a recipe for success for him for fantasy purposes. Just don't quite like him as much as I used to. Harrison's really breaking out. Still has to continue the command and control gains that he's been slowly making, but he's got a chance to get up near where like Yuri Perez is by the end of the season. All right, 51 to 60 here. As we're going to be about 27, 28 minutes in. All right, let's keep going here before we take a break. 51 to 60, we'll do another set of 10. Jason Dominguez, Colton Cowser, Nick Lodolo, Jackson Chorio, 54. Michael Busch, Adele Amador, Kobe Mayo, Kevin Alcantara, who I think I might bump up after this podcast. Jack Leiter at 59, Juan Yepez at 60, who is another guy that will graduate pretty soon, but he sneaks in eligibility-wise here. Dominguez has actually started to heat up a little bit. Slash line is over 300, 400, 500 for the last month, showing some power, a little bit of speed. Still think he was way overblown, but maybe he turns out to be a solid little prospect here. Like I say, he's still right around top 50 for me. Colton Cowser's off to a slow start this season. Same with Kobe Mayo, but still very much in on both of them long-term. Kevin Alcantara is one that I think is going to continue to jump up prospect list. I just tweeted about him a few minutes ago before I came on the air here, and he had a four-hit day today with, what was it, two home runs and a triple or something like that. Power speed is there. One of the bigger power speed blends in the minor leagues. Big guy, too, but moves very well. He's 6'6", but very strong, very athletic, good speed. Maybe that trickles down as time goes on, probably will with that big frame, but I think he's still going to be at least double-digit steal guy for the first several years of his career with big power, and he's showing improvements as a pure hitter as well. So definitely, probably he actually might be top 50 by the time this releases. We'll see, but could be top 25 before too long. Jackson Chourio obviously is the name that sticks out here. He was 214th in my last update, so jumping 100. In 60 spots, but he's earned it. There was a tweet the other day, I'm forgetting by who, the Cream City Prospects or something like that. There's cream in the title, I remember that. But it was a tweet about, I forget the exact parameters, but something like 18-year-olds in full season ball with the highest WRC+. And it was him by a solid margin over guys like Mike Trout and all of them, all these big names, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., so on and so forth. And you look at his stats. They're just off the charts. 368, 418, 632 slash line in 146 plate appearances, 13 doubles, 6 home runs, 4 steals, 7.5% walk rate, 26% K rate. But all the reports are very, very promising on him. I do have a little bit of trepidation with Milwaukee's hitting development in general over the last half decade or so. We've seen Garrett Mitchell not pan out, or at least not yet. Kesson Hiria, Hedbert Perez. So throw a little bit of cold water on that, but Hiria looks like the real deal. That is for sure. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side and keep going in these rankings. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back from the break. Let's keep going here. Finish up the top 100 at least and see how much farther we get. 61 through, let's just go 20 at a time now. We'll pick up the pace a bit here. 61 through 80, we got Roansy Contreras, Brayon Bello from my Boston Red Sox, George Valera, Andrew Painter, Dustin Harris, Taj Bradley, MJ Melendez, Matt McClain, Mick Abel, Christian Vaquero, Bobby Miller, Breon Rocio, Jackson Jobe, Curtis Meade, James Woods, Sedan Rafaela, Leover Paguero, Mason Wynn, Luis Angel Acuna, and Aurelvis Martinez at number 80. You know, Brayon Bello dominated double A. He's doing very well in triple A as well, plus fastball, plus changeup, above average slider, solid command and control. He's probably up in Boston before too long. Maybe within the next week or two with all the injuries Boston has. Eovaldi's one on the IL. Who knows when Chris Sale is ready. Houck's in the bullpen now. Whitlock's on the IL. A lot of stuff going on in that Red Sox rotation right now. And they're relying on Michael Wacha, who has had his own durability issues, and 76-year-old Rich Hill, who I love, Rich Hill. Don't get me wrong, but he's old. So I could need to call on Bayo here sooner rather than later. I think he's ready. I think he's definitely ready. Roger Contreras, very good arm as well. If he's available in your league, pick him up right now. Painter, one of the biggest breakout arms of the year. One of the tallest guys on this list as well. He's already up to high A. Had kind of a so-so start his last time out, but he just looked absolutely dominant. That big downhill plane on the fastball. Really solid all-around arsenal. He's probably going to be top 50 before too long. Mick Abel, another guy I've been sticking high on. Still love Mick Abel. The stats haven't been bad. They've kind of been bleh this year, but love the stuff. So I think he's got one of the best all-around arsenals in the minor leagues. Taj Bradley, very underrated arm, Tampa Bay. Definitely go out and get him if you can, because I think he's going to be a good number three starter for a long time. And Tampa Bay, obviously, one of the best pitching development systems in baseball. Always have been, probably always will be. Some breakouts are in this range as well. You know, we've seen James Wood, who's been dealing with an injury, but hitting for power, speed is still there. He's huge. He probably should be playing like outside linebacker or defensive end in the NFL. And he had more walks than strikeouts, which was very encouraging. I don't think this guy's stick, but early returns on him as a pure hitter have been better than expected. So he earned another jump up the rankings here. Any other names here that I want to Matt McClain hitting for power and speed. Or not hitting for speed, obviously, but power speed blend is there right now. But the K rate's pretty high, and that's pretty commonplace this year with a lot of Cincinnati Reds prospects. There's a lot of guys with a plus 30% plus K rate, and he's one of them. Didn't think he'd have that type of strikeout issue, but I don't think this would be an issue long term for him. I think he's gonna curb that and be a pretty solid player. And another one of those guys that gets underrated because he doesn't have that one wow tool, but it's very solid across the board. Christian Vaquero, I think, is to be a big-time breakout. He's in rookie ball right now. I think he's head and shoulders the best international guy from this last crop of international prospects. So this is a guy that could be top 25 by the end of the year. Big-time power, solid speed. I think he's a pretty solid hitter as well. We'll see. That's always the kind of thing that you got to wait to see on how these guys handle, you know, minor league pitching. After all we really have is videos of them in the Dominican Republic or Venezuela or Cuba, wherever they're from, you know, on some backfield somewhere. So he's one I think is a breakout. And Sedan Rafaela, another breakout here. Saw him the other night, or last night, actually, on Thursday night. I was at the game, and he hit a nice home run. It's his second home run in double A. He's already tearing it up. Above average power, plus speed, above average plus hitter as well. He is legit. He is absolutely top 100 guy. Big jump for him. And Mason Wynn, the power is slowly coming along. Mason Wynn, if that continues coming along, he's going to be top 50 pretty soon as well. At 80, real quick, Aurelvis Martinez, love the power, but he's very aggressive and contact skills are not there right now. He's only hitting, I think, around 220. Let me pull that up real quick here. Aurelvis is hitting 216, actually, through 194 plate appearances. He's young, 20 years old, double A. He does have 15 home runs, four steals, but 6.2% walk rate, 28.9% K rate. Very aggressive. He's kind of slung out for power, it seems like. So we'll get to see if he can find that happy medium. All right, rounding up the top 100, the next 20, 81 through 100, we have Harry Ford, who's been struggling this year. Sal Fleeck from Milwaukee. Ezekiel Duran, who just got called up not too long ago by Texas. Diego Cartea, Nick Prado, Cole Henry, Esteri Ruiz, who's going bonkers this year. DL Hall, Edwin Arroyo, Jonathan Aranda, Emmanuel Rodriguez at 91. Edward Cabrera, Christopher Morel at 93. Another kind of guy came out of nowhere this year. Well, not out of nowhere entirely, but I don't think anybody expected him to be doing what he's doing at the major league level right now, going up straight from double A. Pedro Leon, one of the hardest guys for me to rank every single time. Trey Sweeney, Quinn Priester, Ronnie Mauricio, Peyton Battenfield, Brett Beatty, and Emerson Hancock sneaks back into the top 100. He's looking pretty solid so far in his first few starts back from injury. A lot of fun names in this range. Like Esteri Ruiz, obviously, is the name that he probably wasn't even in a lot of top 100 lists or top, I mean, should be top 400 lists, I should say, before this season, because he was a guy that always showed great speed, but the bat was really questioned. This year, he has, is that 40 steals? Yeah, 40 steals so far this year. I had to make sure that was the right column that I was looking at here. 40 steals in 257 plate appearances, been caught six times, also slashing 355, 482, 650, the 295 ISO, 19 doubles, 12 home runs, and 14% walk rate, 17.5% K rate. He's one of those guys where it's just hard to rank him because of his previous track record with the bats. And he's a little older, but not too old. Like, how much of it do you believe in? You know, how much of that speed? You know, obviously he's not going to be like a 60 steal guy, but he's definitely like a 30 plus steal guy. How much power translates at the major league level? These are all questions you have about guys like this that really, really balloon out kind of from one season to the next. But he's top 100, no doubt. And I wouldn't fault anybody for putting him in like top 50 right now if you're a believer in the improvements. And I am to a degree. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be a stud with the bat. But even if he can hit 260 with 10 to 15 home runs and give you that speed, that's going to be valuable from a fantasy perspective. Absolutely. Cole Henry, a guy that I've always really liked. I have him ahead of Cade Cavalli right now, who I don't know if you haven't noticed. I haven't not mentioned Cade Cavalli yet. He's not too far down. But Cole Henry is a guy that doesn't get enough love. He's been just performing. He's got some injury issues. That's the downfall. Durability has been an issue with him. But definitely love Cole Henry. He's a great guy to target right now in dynasty leagues. Cartea, another great catching prospect for the Dodgers. They just grow them on trees out there. Duran's having a very good power speed year. Sal Frelick, a guy that's got like a poor man's PCA. Maybe not. He's basically PCA with less power projection. Let's put it that way. So good, but not great fantasy asset long term. Another guy here, Edwin Arroyo, has quietly been excelling so far in the low minors here. Been one of the bigger breakouts from the previous draft class. Let's see here. Prep Pulpit Stats. There we go. 311, 383, 524 slash line with 22 extra base hits, 10 home runs, 9 steals, only a 22.1% strikeout rate, 8.8% walk rate. As an 18-year-old in low A, 2020 type of guy, so he's going to be continue to climb up my rankings in a hurry with this performance here. Emmanuel Rodriguez has like a 900 OBP or something like that. Not quite, but it was near 500 last time I looked. He's sitting around 270 on the season. If I pull up his slash line, 272, 492. Yeah, 492 OBP. That's not a typo or a misstep or whatever. What's the audio version of a typo? I should know this word, but whatever. 492 OBP, 551 slug, 9 home runs, 11 steals as a 19-year-old in low A. Yeah, he doesn't have huge power or huge speed, but a guy that could flirt 20-20 or around that area early on in his career. And he's shown he can get on base at a super high clip. He could be top 50 right now for in OBP. We'll see where he's at in Chris Clegg's next update, which should be within the next week, I think. Don't quote me on that, but probably within the next week. Christian Morel, like I mentioned, really exceeding expectations, but it looks like he's here to stay in Chicago. Pedro Leon showing a great power speed blend, but hit tool is just up and down. I don't know where how much average he hits for, and if he hits enough at the major league level to kind of maximize that power speed blend. We'll see. All right, let's go another set of 20 here. 101 to 120. Benny Montgomery, Cade Cavalli, James Triantos, Blaze Jordan, Mark Vientos, Oswald Peraza. A lot of Yankees prospects, hitting prospects, I should say, are struggling this year. Peraza dropped down considerably. He was top 50 before the season. So he's at 106 now. Zach Geloff, DJ Hirsch, Ricky Tiedemann, big breakout arm in Toronto. They have a lot of breakout arms overall. Austin Martin, Logan Allen, Justin Foscue, Matthew Liberatore, Victor Acosta, Caleb Killian, Everson Pereira, Jay Allen, Michael Massey, very underrated hitting prospect for Kansas City. Brandon Williamson, Anthony Garcia round out the top 120. Cade Cavalli, he shows just enough to keep me interested, but the command and control, very inconsistent. There's some bullpen risk there, which is why I keep dropping him down a good 10, 15 spots every update. So it's still like the stuff, you know, it's a good fastball, good breaking ball, solid changeup, but I'm not 100% sure he's a starter long-term. We'll see. Blaze Jordan is a guy that, you know, look at the surface stats and they're not great this year, but underlying metrics, like the K rate is down. He still has the elite raw power. The contact rate is actually a lot higher than what I thought. The BABIP is pretty low. So he's a good buy low right now. Ricky Tiedemann, he has been, you know, it's funny. He's gotten his love. Like people are talking about him, but I think people were talking about him a lot more. Yuri Perez wasn't doing what he's doing. You know, let's look at Tiedemann so far in single A, 49 and two-thirds innings, 127 ERA, 0.72 whip, 77 strikeouts to 16 walks, only giving up 7 earned runs in 49 and two-thirds innings. So swinging strike rate is elite with him. Big-time bat-missing ability, as you see, 77 Ks in just 49 and two-thirds innings. Only 19 years old, too, so he's going to be top 100 pretty damn soon. And I probably should have done it on this update. We'll see. He's 109. Maybe I bump him up into the top 100 by the time I post the update tomorrow morning or this morning. I should have listened to it on Monday morning, I should say. All right. Moving on to the next set here. Let's go. Let's do the rest of the top 150. All right. 121. Davison De Los Santos, Yonkenzi Noel, Gunnar Hoglund, Roderick Arias, Vaughn Grissom, Lonnie White Jr., Cody Morris, Shea Langeliers, Jordan Groshans, Matt Allen at 130, Felix Valerio, Jose Ramos, Alexander Canario, Evan Carter, Josh Smith, Kyle Stowers, Alec Burleson, Garrett Mitchell, Nelson Velazquez, Blake Walston at 140, and then 141 to 150, Ryan Pepio, Colson Montgomery, Moises Gomez, Hunter Brown, Sixto Sanchez. Probably should have bumped him down even more than I did, but who knows with him at this point. Owen Casey, Alex Ramirez of the Mets, and Ricardo Cabrera, Richie Palacios, and Reginald Preciado round out the 150. Some quick notes on this group here. Stowers having a really good season. I wrote about him on Patreon not too long ago. 25 homer bat, a little bit of speed, maybe a 260 type of hitter. I think he's going to be a pretty underrated fantasy asset moving forward. Alec Burleson kind of having the Juan Yepez breakout. He's kind of like the Juan Yepez of this year for St. Louis. Then doesn't get as much love as he deserves. Look at what he's doing here. He's up to AAA right now. Actually, he's been there the whole year. I thought he started in AA, but been there the whole year, 23 years old in AAA, 325, 365, 53. Not walking a whole ton, but only a 13.1% K rate, which is very encouraging, and 12 home runs and 9 doubles and 222 plate appearances. So breaking out like Juan Yepez did last year, right behind him, Garrett Mitchell. Man, there was so much hope for Mitchell, and it wasn't just me. Obviously, I probably bumped him up higher than most, but this is a guy that more than one, you know, person or outlet said had like the highest upside of that potential draft class for fantasy purposes. Just hasn't worked out. He's got the double A, and he's just been not as good. The contact skills have been really, really bad. He's striking out too much. Still shows a decent power speed blend, but hit tool and the approach, or at least the K rate, he still walks, but very much a lot of questions, more questions than answers with Garrett Mitchell so far. And the biggest sell high maybe of the entire 150. Moises Gomez, you know, the power is legit. He's a big time power guy, but he's blocked. Like, there's so many guys ahead of him in that St. Louis outfield already. I don't know, like, where he fits. He's still in double A right now, but 319, 383, 714 slash, just a 395 ISO, 13 doubles and 20 home runs in 206 plate appearances. I'm not saying I necessarily, you know, don't believe in him. I said the power's legit, but I don't think he's a 300 plus hitter either. He's got 33.5% K rate this year, which is very concerning. So I think he's a good sell high right now because the K rate, I think there's some average regression coming, and the fact that he's just so buried on the outfield depth chart for St. Louis, I just don't see how he fits into their long-term plans moving forward. All right, let's go to, get us a little more time here. Let's go through 200. We'll do another two sets of 25 here, round out the top 200, and then you can see the entire top 400 over on FantraxHQ.com. 151 to 175, we get Eddie's Leonard, Connor Norby, Cole Wynn, who's kind of reverting back to the old Cole Wynn, unfortunately. Peyton Burdick, Gabriel Gonzalez from Seattle, Junior Marin, Logan Ohapi. I can say Logan Ohapi all day. Love that name. Isaiah Green, Matt Cantorino, JJ Blade is at 160. Maybe I was a little harsh with that Blade drop, but he did have two home runs today, which of course he did. But overall, it's not look great in AAA. Matt Brash at 161, Denzel Clark, Simeon Woods Richardson, Alex Benelis, Warming Bernabeu, Ken Waldichuk, Jairo Pomares, Xavier Edwards, Tyler Freeman, Christian Robinson at 170, who's been kind of staying in that spot until I figured out what's going on with him and what he's going to look like when he comes back. And then Colt Keith, who's having a nice breakout year in Detroit, Chase Petty, Carlos Colmenares, Jose Tena, Owen White is at 175. Matt Brash just continues walking everybody in AAA. That command and control, he's a, at this point, I'm saying 80-20, he's a bullpen arm. They'll give him a shot starting, I'm sure, again at some point. But if I had to bet $100 my own money on if he's a starter or a reliever long-term, I would say reliever. Junior Marin, big-time breakout potential, had a great year last year in rookie ball. He's up to, I believe he's up to, is he up to full season ball this year? Is he still in rookie ball? Let me take a quick look at that. I believe he got the bump, or he was going to get the bump. Maybe they kept him in rookie ball. Let's see here. Yeah, he's still down in rookie ball so far, but he should get the bump up to single A at some point here earlier on this season. Really love the power speed blend he showed last year. Also hit 380, 469, 696 with seven home runs and five steals. Big time frame already as an 18-year-old. He's 6'2", 240, but that's like a very strong, that's not like a bad 240. That's a very good 240. You got to wonder how the body does project long-term, but big time power shows a good feel for hit already. He had almost as many walks as K's last year. A lot of good things there in that profile. So love Junior Marin could be top 50 by the end of the season. I'm that high on him. Denzel Clark's had a nice breakout season as well, showing some good power speed and a better hit tool and approach than expected. Warming Bernabeu, good all-around offensive talent there in Colorado, having a breakout year. Logan Ohapi, too, is another one that he is in the discussion for top 10 overall catching prospects. Look at what he's doing in AA this year. 292, 405, 585, 13 home runs, and 12.2% walk rate and a 16.1% K rate. Chris and I saw him out in Arizona last year. He looked pretty good out there as well, and he's kind of carried that over into this year. So he's definitely worthy. And I maybe could have gone a little bit higher on him, but approaching top 150, I think, is very reasonable for what he's doing this year. A couple of names that just keep sliding down a little bit every time for me. Tyler Freeman. Still, the power hasn't come along, and now he's not even hitting for much average anymore. So don't know really what the intrigue there with him anymore is. As I said, JJ Blade is having a subpar season in AAA. He's kind of faltered out at the upper level, kind of fizzled out a little bit. So I don't know what type of, if he's, is he an impact bat? Is he even a starter at the major league level? We'll see. But kind of souring on him a bit here. All right, rounding up the show, let's go with the last set of 25 to get us right to 200 at 176. Jordan Westberg, Tanner Burns, Ian Lewis, Heliot Ramos, who keeps sliding down my rankings as well. Elijarius Montero at 180. Jackson Merrill, Asa Lacy, Jonathan Classe, Heriberto Hernandez, who just can't hit for average anymore. He's hitting for power, but the K rate is super high as well, around 36%. Jose Salas, Angel Martinez, Alberto Rodriguez, Greg Jones, Joshua Baez, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Randy Velasquez, Ethan Small, Gordon Crisefo, Hedbert Perez, Josh Winder, Matt Gorski, Carson Williams of Tampa Bay, Miguel Blaez, Maxwell Muncy, who's having a nice little bounce back season in for Oakland. Kind of. He's sitting like 240, but nice little power speed one. And then at 200, Landon Knack. Some names real quick there. Gordon Crisefo has just continues to dominate this year. Been one of the biggest breakout pitching prospects in 61 and a third innings, 176 ERA, 0.85 whip, 66 strikeouts to 6 walks. That is very, very good, obviously, to show that type of bat-missing ability with plus command and control. I think he's going to surprise some people, so he keeps moving up my rankings here. Hedbert Perez keeps moving down. He just hasn't panned out like many Milwaukee prospects before him, hitting prospects, I should say. All that buzz around him last year and just has not panned out. Matt Gorski coming out of really nowhere. You want to hear the numbers for Matt Gorski right now? They are off the charts. In 211 plate appearances, 291, 376, 659, 19 home runs, and 14 steals. He's a little bit older for the level. He wasn't, you know, I think he was like a fourth or fifth round pick, if I recall. So kind of like those things are like, all right, those are the types of guys that people were kind of a little hesitant on to bump up too highly because they had a little bit older for the level. They weren't a high draft pick, but hey, the stats are there. A little bit high on the K rate, 27.5%, but you got to give him the love here. He's at least top 200. We'll see how I want to see how he can do against more advanced pitching. That'll really be the key to see if he deserved the bump into the top 200 or if he deserves a further bump or if he has kind of got to fizzle out as he faces that more advanced pitching. But yeah, that's going to wrap up the top 200. Again, you can see the entire 400 over on Fantrax HQ. And Chris Cleggs will be out, I think, fairly soon as well for the OBP side of things, if that's what you're interested in too. But that's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again. I really hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. This hour flew by. You can follow Chris and I on Twitter. I am at AirCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ, Fantasy Pros, or over on our Patreon as well. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball and prospect talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.